This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
He's using Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Wahid, to do what? To show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone, solitary, one. And that He does what all you claim all those other lords can do, He does that Himself. Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar. The unrivaled compeller, which we'll talk about the significance of that as we go on, inshallah. Allah Azza wa Jalla also says in the Quran. So here we can see that one of Allah's names is what? Al-Wahid and Al-Qahhar from this ayah. Allah Azza wa Jalla also says, لو أراد الله أن يتخذ ولدا لاصطفى مما يخلق ما يشاء سبحانه هو الله الواحد القهار. So, and then I want you to think here who this address might be going towards. If Allah wanted to have a son, He could have selected from His creation at will. Exalted is He, Subhanah. He is Allah, the One, Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar. Okay. What is the significance of mentioning that He is the One in this particular ayah? Because Christians say that He is one of three. Or He's three in one. Tell you, Mashi. We'll accept that answer. But what does that have to do with this ayah? Because this doesn't say anything about three here. Okay. Because they say that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is the son of God, then that would mean that God would have someone that is like Him, right? Because it does not necessarily a partner. That's not really the issue here. The issue is that He would have someone else that is like Him, because you know cows don't give birth to flies, right? So if God was to have a son, then that son would also be at least similar, if not equal, at least similar, right? Right. So the idea is to shut all of that down. He's one. He doesn't have any partner. There's nothing similar to Him. There's nothing. No, He is one. لو أراد الله أن يتخذ ولدا. And then the other thing is, if He wanted to have a son, why do people in general have sons? To carry on their lineage. Right? Some of them think of it like that. Some of them want to brag and boast to have someone else on earth that resembles you, to have someone that takes care of you when you get older, to the end of it, right? People have sons for different reasons. The point is that what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here is that He doesn't need to have a son to do any of those things. He could have selected from His creation whatever He wills without going through the process of, you know, having a sahiba, as He says in another ayah, having a female partner and then producing children. Well, yeah, billah. And really, I mean, when you think about it doesn't make sense. Which is why there's a lot of mental gymnastics that are done on the other side to try to make it look like make it look like it makes sense, but it really doesn't. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also addressing the Christians in other verses, He says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٍ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who say that Allah is one of three or the third of three, they have disbelieved. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٍ. That they have disbelieved. Which is interesting that there are actually some Muslims who say that Christians are not kuffar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly calls them that in the Quran. And I mean, that's neither here nor there when it comes to the way that the interaction with non-Muslims, whether they're called kuffar, they're not Muslims at the end of the day. But then there's like this third category, I don't know, that some people want to make. But we have believers and disbelievers at the end of the day. Those disbelievers are different categories. But at the end of the day, they're not Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَارِثُ ثَلَاثَ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٍ. And there is no true deity except for the one deity. Okay? وَلَمْ يَنْتَهُوا مَا يَقُولُونَ لَيَمَسَّنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. طيب. ماشي. Alright, so we have evidence for Al-Wahid. That evidence is from the Quran. طيب. How many times in the Quran?
22.
ماشي. The evidence for? Huh? What's this evidence for? Al-Ahad. Yalla, somebody read. طيب. قل هو الله أحد. Does it say he's Al-Ahad? No. But there are ahadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that he is Al-Ahad, and where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also called him Al-Ahad. So this, the Ahad, Al-Ahad has only been mentioned in the Quran once. And it's in this surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas. And this surah, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, تَعْدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ. And wallahi, I just to take a quick minute just to talk about the importance of Surah Al-Ikhlas, right? It is, the Prophet ﷺ says, equivalent to a third of the Quran. Alright, what does that actually mean? I mean, let's give that a little bit of thought here. A man came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he mentioned that his companion, that a friend of his, had been repeating Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. It was as if he was reprimanding his friend, telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, man, this man just keeps repeating, you know, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, إِنَّهَا تَعْدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ, that it's equivalent to a third of the Quran. Don't look at it as being something insignificant, right? And similarly, the Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, يعني أَيَعْجِزُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَقْرَأْ فِي لَيْلَةٍ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ. Does one of you find it, you know, difficult, or do you not have the ability to read a third of the Quran every night? So that was difficult, as the narration says. That was difficult upon the companions. They felt that it was like, wow. Is the Prophet ﷺ actually encouraging us at this point to read a third of the Quran every night? Like, this is going to be difficult to maintain. And so the Prophet ﷺ told them, read قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ فَإِنَّا تَعْدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ, because it is equivalent to a third of the Quran. And it's interesting that this is Surah Al-Ikhlas. What's Ikhlas mean? It means sincerity, right? And when you are sincere to something, then it means that you have done what? That you have singled that thing out. I'm sincere to it, right? Only for that. Tell you, let's go. Some of you read Arabic pretty well, right? Show me where Ikhlas is in the surah. Where does it mention Ikhlas? Tell you. Let's stop. Stop for a minute. What surah do you read when you start Salat? Al-Fatiha. Where is Al-Fatiha mentioned in that surah? The word Al-Fatiha. It's not. So why is it called Fatiha? Because it's the opening. Fataha means to open something, right? Al-Fatiha is the opening part, chapter in the Quran. Tell you, this is called Ikhlas. The surah after it is called what? Al-Falaq. Not Al-Falaq. Al-Falaq. And Al-Falaq starts out, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّي أَلْفَلَقْ. طيب, so that's clear. طيب, the surah after that, الناس, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّي الناس. The surah after that, alright, alhamdulillah. I'm just making sure everybody's awake. Alhamdulillah. Alright. So if we go here, Surah Al-Ikhlas, then you might say, well, why is it called Al-Ikhlas? Huh? Because of Tawheed? Okay. We get definitely Tawheed in there. If you look at these attributes, okay, Al-Ahad, Al-Samad, these names, They are the names that call us to ikhlas, which we'll talk about, inshallah. All right? Because he is the unique, his attributes are the perfect attributes. Who else would you worship? Who else would you worship except for the one who is perfect? Right? He's perfect in his creation, perfect in his knowledge, perfect in his wisdom, perfect in all of these attributes. Then he is the one that is deserving of that worship. He is a summit whom you turn to for all of your needs. Right? So this is interesting that these names, both Ahad and Samad, are only mentioned once in the Quran, and they're only mentioned in the surah that's called Ikhlas. It's interesting. In any event, here, as we see, this surah is quite important. We'll talk about, we'll probably get to it towards the end of the class, inshallah ta'ala. We'll talk a little bit more about the importance of Surah Al-Ikhlas and how it should become a part of our lives. And Surah Al-Ikhlas is what? What is it talking about? It's only talking about one thing, period. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the surah itself is khalis, lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it calls you to ikhlas, which means that you single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your qasd. That is, that he is the only object that you seek out, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyip. The surah is amazing surah. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah has a treatise just explaining Surah Al-Ikhlas, and it's quite lengthy, and I hope that at some point we get to go over it. Bidnillah. Tayyip. Mashi. Further evidence. Fadl Iqra, Shaykh. In the English, yeah?
Burayda, radiallahu anha.
La, had a rajat. It's a man.
Burayda, radiallahu anha, narrated, the messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, heard a man saying, I asked you, O Allah, bearing witness that you are Allah, there is no true God but you, Al-Ahad, As-Samad, who did not beget, did not have a child, and was not begotten, nor did anyone give him birth, and to whom no one is equal. Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then said, he has asked Allah by his name, by which, when asked, he gives, and by which, when supplicated, he answers.
Allah.
Related by the four Imams and Ibn Hibban graded it as sahih.
As did other scholars of hadith. Okay. So let's go over this hadith. Because again, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are known through both the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Burayda radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a man saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhad. Yeah. In other words, this man is asking Allah and he's imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his names and attributes first, and then he's going to ask for what he wants. There's another narration in Sunan Abi Dawud where he goes on to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him of his sins. And so from the etiquettes of making dua is that you don't just go straight into the dua. Is that you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that you send the salat and salam upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and then you begin your dua. Alright? So let's just look at a practical, because there's one where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a man. He was in the masjid and he was making dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Amma hadha faqad istajal." As for this one, he was hasty. Because he was just making dua without slowing it down, without praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and sending salat and salam upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Tayyib. Salat al-janazah. What is Salat al-janazah? The funeral prayer. When do you pray for the one who is dead? After the third rak'ah? There's no rak'ahs. After the third takbirah. When do you make dua? When do you start making dua for the one who...
After the third
takbirah. After the third takbirah. Okay. So why don't we just go right away? I mean, the whole point of the janazah is to do what? To pray for him. Why don't we just go right away, Allahu Akbar, and start praying for him? Think about it. What do you do in the first takbirah? You al-Fatiha. But Fatiha starts out with what? Alhamdulillah. So you're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when you're making dua in Fatiha, you're starting out with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. You're praising Allah Azza wa Jal through His names and His attributes. Right? So you start off with Fatiha. Second rak'ah, what are you doing? Second rak'ah. Somebody got me. Second takbirah. Send a salat and salam upon the Messenger, alayhi salatu wa salam, right? Aha. Yeah. Uh-huh. So you're actually following the prophetic method of praising Allah. And then asking Allah to exalt the mention of His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what you're doing first. Because that's more likely to make your dua be accepted. Understand? Tayyib. All right. So here we see that this man is also... He's also starting out with this same, before he even makes dua, he's saying, I ask you, oh Allah, I ask you what? Bearing witness that you are A, B, C, and D, right? So he's going through. So he says, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhad. In other words, oh Allah, to say it loosely, please take this into consideration before I make my dua. It's called a tawassul, right? How do you translate that? A tawassul.
You ask based upon a deed.
Okay, perfect. It is asking the Creator based upon a deed that you've done. Right? No. Right. So here he's talking about the deed that he's done. The greatest deed is that deed of tawheed that you testify to la ilaha illallah. So he says, Allahumma inni as'aluka, oh Allah, I ask you, by this deed that I have, and by these beautiful names and perfect names that you have, bi anni ashhad annaka anta Allah, la ilaha illa ant. So I testify that you are Allah, that there is no true deity except you. Al-ahadu samad, al-ahad as-samad. Tayyib, who said this? The Prophet ﷺ or somebody else? Somebody else. How is what somebody else says an evidence that that's the name of Allah? Because the Prophet ﷺ did not correct him. Right. That's one. Number two is, he benefited those names from the Quran. He didn't just make up names pull names out of his hat. Right. But he said those names. The reason why we consider this to be evidence is because he said it in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not correct him. So that's what's known as at-taqrirat. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they call it tacit approval. That something was done in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or something was said in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did not reprimand that person, criticize that person, so forth. So that's considered to be also from the sunnah. We consider that to be sunnah. He says, بِأَنِّي أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ أَنْتَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا أَنْتَ الْأَحَدُ الصَّمَدُ الَّذِي لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. So, before you make dua, this is something, and this can be said in your salat, by the way, towards the end, before you make tashahud. You can say this. In fact, there's another dua, I didn't put it here, but the Prophet ﷺ actually encouraged us to say this dua. So, then the Prophet ﷺ responded by saying, لَقَدْ سَأَلَ اللَّهُ. So the Prophet ﷺ heard this man saying that. He said, لَقَدْ سَأَلَ اللَّهُ بِسْمِهِ الَّذِي إِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى وَإِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ. He has asked Allah by the name, by His name. Okay, he asked Allah by His name, which when asked by this name, He gives. And which when supplicated, when called upon by this name, he answers that call. Jayyid, these are things Iqwan. We shouldn't just let these things go by without at least talking to ourselves about making this part of our repertoire. Yes?
Someone is asking if you can adjust the camera so that they can see the live feed, the slides on the live feed.
I cannot do anything, sir. But jazakallahu khairan. طيب. So this was collected by the four imams. So who are the four imams? Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi, and Ahmed. Except that in hadith terminology, those are not the four imams. Who's considered to be the four when you in hadith? Huh? La Bukhari and Muslim are out of this. Okay, طيب. Ibn Majah, An-Nasa'i, Abu Dawood, and Tirmidhi. Alright? So Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i, Ibn Majah. Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah. طيب. Further evidence. Sahih al-Bukhari. Ibn Abbas narrated, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, fadl shaykh.
Ibn Abbas, radiallahu an, narrated that the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, Allah said, Qul Allah, the son of Adam tells a lie against me.
Okay, stop there. What kind of hadith is this? It's called a hadith Qudsi. Hadith Qudsi. Right? So a divine narration, if you will. Okay, because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking, but it's not the Quran. No.
The son of Adam tells a lie against me, although he has no right to do so. And he insults me, though he has no right to do so. As for his telling a lie against me, it is that he claims that I cannot recreate him as I created him before.
Stop there. Who tells that lie? Al-Mushrikun. Primarily, this was the statement of the Mushrikun, who said that Allah at the end of Surah Yasin, "Qala man yuhil idama, wa hiya ramim." They would say, "Who's going to bring back these bones after they turn into dust?" Right. So here they believe. They did not believe in a hereafter. Okay? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, basically what they are saying is that I'm not the one who is Qadir. I don't have the ability to do everything. This is what the Mushrikun is saying. So this is a lie. Now.
As for his insulting me, it is his statement that I have a child.
And who said that? The Christians primarily. Now let's go back real quick. What was the evidence that we used? Ya sahibi as-sijin. Arbab mutafarriqun khayrun am Allah al-wahid al-qahhar. Oh my fellow imams, a diverse Lord is better or Allah, the one. The one, the unrivaled. Look at the unrivaled compeller. But look at that. So here he's the mushrikun, he's calling himself one. And the second ayah that deals with the Christians, he's calling himself one. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling himself one. You go back here, he's also addressing the Mushrikun and the Christians. And then he's going to go back and call himself one. Go ahead.
No, high above every imperfection and need am I. Yeah. I am far from taking a wife or a son, parenthetically, or offspring, etc. Sahih al-Bukhari.
Right, and then subhanAllah, and there it is, the imperfection of man. I left out the part where he says, أنا الأحد أنا الصمد لم ألد ولم أولد. Yeah, and I forgot to put that there. So he says أنا الأحد أنا الصمد. Right? I am الأحد, I am الصمد. I have not taken I have not been born nor do I have any children. طيب ماشي. Alright, well now we gotta move through this. Allah musta'an. But anyway, we picked up some of the general meanings on the way. Fadl iqra, Sheikh.
These two names indicate Allah's oneness and his uniqueness, single, solitary, all by himself, in his attributes of majesty and honor. He is one in his essence, with nothing that resembles him. Essence, attributes, actions, that means in the makeup of his composition, divinity and servitude.
Right, so divinity and servitude here are referring, okay, so let's just take this number one. These two names indicate Allah's oneness and his uniqueness. Let's go here and then we'll come back. Father,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highest every imperfection in Ishi and the Most High, is both Al-Wahid and Al-Ahad. They come from the same root.
Okay, so what is the root of Al-Wahid and Al-Ahad? Because as we know, most of your Arabic words have a trilateral root. So what is the what are the three letters at the root of Wahid and Al-Ahad? Huh? The wow, ha, and down. The wow, ha, and down. It's not common in the Arabic language that a wow is going to turn into a hamza, but it does sometimes happen, and sometimes the wow will turn into a ta marbuta. Right? Like in the, huh? Okay. So like in sila tur rahim. Anybody know what that means? Sila tur rahim. We're commanded to do that. To do what? Right, the ties of kinship, to keep those ties. Sila. Sila, the ta marbuta at the end is actually a wow in the beginning. Wasala. That's the asal. In any event, both Al-Wahid and Al-Ahad come from the root Wow, Ha, Da. Okay? Tayyib. Let's go back and then we come back to this again. Fadl Sheikh. So the two names indicate Allah's oneness. Yeah, read that again, please.
These two names indicate Allah's oneness and His uniqueness.
In other words, that He has no equal, He has no partner, He has no rival. Being that He is one, there is nothing else. There is no two, there is no three. He is one. And He is unique, so He doesn't have any peers or rivals, none.
Single, that is solitary, in His attributes of majesty and honor.
Right.
He is one in His essence, with nothing that resembles Him.
Right, so there's nothing that resembles His essence, there's nothing that resembles His attributes, there's nothing that resembles His actions. And therefore, as a result, if you remember when we talked about Allah, the name Allah, we talked about al-uluhiyyah and al-ubudiyyah. We talked about His divine qualities. So He is one in all of those qualities, and those qualities are themselves unique, as we'll cover when we start talking about the qualities that maybe somebody might be described with. Like when we talk about, inshallah, next week, when we talk about Allah being Al-Alim, right? Which means that He is the all-knowing. His knowledge is not like the knowledge of human beings. And so His knowledge is unique. So that goes back to His name, Al-Ahad. All right? And also these names require us to worship Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the one, so He is worshipped alone. Read what Al-Khattabi says.
Al-Khattabi or Al-Khattabi?
Lala, Al-Khattabi.
Al-Khattabi, rahimullah, said, Al-Wahid is the single, the one, without associates. It is said that Al-Wahid is the one, none like unto Him, who has no partner or peer. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not like anything else. Everything other than Him is unique from one aspect only. There is nothing like unto Him.
Nah. Father Sheikh. So if we go again, they come from the same root. So let's go here. Al-Ahad.
Al-Ahad is completely unique.
Mm-hmm.
Al-Wahid has no partner.
Right. And so Al-Wahid we translated as what? The one. So being that He is the one, He can't be duplicated, He can't be divided, as some of the scholars say, that all of these are part of His name, the one. Mm-hmm. Al-Raghib. Raghib al-Asfahani, he has a book that's good to have for those who are learning or want to learn some of the words of the Quran that are you know unique and that come in the Quran.
Al-Raghib says... It says, Ahad is a separate word which implies that one cannot have any comparison a sole, unique entity who does not have an equal or competitor in any way. He does not have a second or affiliate.
SubhanAllah. You know, this is just, when you think of Al-Ahad, you have to understand what it means to be peerless. What does that mean? It doesn't mean he's in a category all by himself. Like, people use that terminology for like athletes, right? Oh, he's in a category all by himself. No, there's still other people that, you know, that do what he does, just maybe not on his level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally, absolutely peerless. There is nothing like him, no one who does what he does or anything like he does. And so, subhanAllah, I mean, when you think of Al-Ahad, you have to think of that one who has transcended beyond everything. Naam, Sheikh. Just keep going. Differences between your name.
Okay. The difference between Al-Wahid and Al-Ahad.
Right.
Al-Wahid is the one, there is nothing like unto him in his essence. Whereas Al-Ahad is the one in his attributes in which there is none like unto him.
All right, so just to summarize that very quickly, and it's sort of like what we talked about at the beginning. When we're talking about Al-Wahid, we're talking about a number. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. He stands alone in his essence. He is not divisible. He is not duplicatable, if that's even a word, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. He's not three. He's not less than that. He is one subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is without partner. He is without partner. Al-Ahad is referring to his attributes. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally and absolutely unique. All right? Read what Sa'adi says here.
Shaykh As-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, said, he is the one who is singled out in all aspects of perfection, such that nothing else shares these with him. It is obligatory upon the servant to single him out alone in belief, saying, and the action by acknowledging his unrestricted perfection and his uniqueness, and singling him out alone with all types of worship.
Okay, so these benefits here are taken primarily from this book, which if you do know Arabic, I would highly recommend it. It's called Fiqh al-Asma al-Husna. It was written by Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr, hafidhullah ta'ala. And basically everything that Sa'adi has said in his works, Sheikh Abdul Razak has taken that speech, added on to it, reconfigured it, and has brought out a lot of benefits. So we're going to go through these, inshallah, quickly. Further, the first benefit.
Knowing that Allah, the Exalted, is the one and only, can inspire the servants of Allah, the Exalted, to dedicate all of their worship solely to Allah, the Exalted, and no other. By understanding this attribute of His, the worshippers of Allah, the Exalted, are motivated to pray directly to Allah, the Exalted, without including intercessors or associates. For indeed, Allah Ta'ala has no equal or partner, as He is the One.
Right. Clear? All right. So the first benefit that we can say that one gets just by knowing the names Al-Wahid and Al-Ahad is that your worship should be for Him alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right? Tayyib. Keep it going, Shaykh.
Allah says in Surah Al-Ikhlas, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, and there is none co-equal or comparable unto him.
In other words, so here what we have is butlan at-takyif. That is, and we covered this prior in the Aqidah classes, that we can't say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes are like anyone else's. Like we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, but His hearing is not like the hearing of mankind. It doesn't necessitate that He has an eardrum, for example. right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has a face. We affirm that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't know how that is. And whatever thoughts come across your mind, as some of the Salaf used to say, you should know that Allah is not like that. Because Allah is beyond your ability to comprehend or to tasawwar, yani, that you get some type of picture. And you know, whatever that picture might be is wrong, right? He is al-wahid, he is al-ahad. He has no peer or partner, there is none comparable or co-equal to him. Nothing that you think about is going to be him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have that perception, all right? So knowing that he is al-wahid al-ahad, if something is totally unique, how can you picture it? You can't. You can't. That's the whole point. Nah.
Benefits. A person does not enter Islam unless and until he or she believes in the oneness of Allah, and that is by testifying that no deity deserves to be worshipped except Allah.
Because he is the one, he is deserving of that worship alone. No deeds are accepted from a person until he fulfills that obligation of believing in his heart and testifying with his tongue that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ahad. Okay? And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sent Mu'adh to Yemen, this is what he started with. Before Salat, before Zakat, he was to call them to what? At-Tawheed. And Tawheed comes from what root? Wahada. Wahada. Al-Wahid, al-Ahad. Alright? Tayyib. Bismillah.
The torture of Bilal, radiallahu anhu.
Tayyib. So here, these are just some of the things that need to be brought out. As the story goes, Bilal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was tortured by Quraysh. That is without a doubt. They say that he would not go beyond saying Ahadun Ahad, Allahul Ahad, when they were torturing him. They were trying to get him to be a mushrik. They wanted him to return back to kufr. What the ladina kafaru min ahli al-kitab? You know they're not from ahli al-kitab. Lo yuraddunukum min ba'di imanikum kuffaran hasadan min indi anfusihim. They wish that they would turn, that they could turn you back to kuffar. Why? Hasadan min indi anfusihim. Because they inside of themselves had jealousy. You know, they didn't want you to be, you know, a Muslim. One who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they tortured Bilal, and Bilal would just say, Allahul Ahad. Ahadun Ahad. Nah, next, Sheikh.
Is Allah the one in your life that is only the one?
No. Is Allah the only one in your life? Period. Only the one, yani Al-Ahad, can fill that void. And so the idea here is that when you recognize that Allah is Al-Ahad, and you recognize that he is al-wahid, then he is the one who you work for. This is the concept, that concept of tawheed. Many people feel empty. They feel they have a void. There's a space inside of them that needs to be filled. And so you find people who try to fill that void any way they can. In other words, they've done everything that they were programmed to do in life. They went to school. After school, they went to college. They got a good job. They got married. And guess what? They still are looking for something. Something doesn't feel right inside. And so they mask it to the best of their ability. Entertainment, which is a huge industry in this country. You know why? Because everybody's looking to fill that empty space inside of themselves. So because you can't fill it, then at least the least I can do is do what? Distract myself so that I don't realize that it's there. Entertainment, whether that's sports, music, movies, halal or haram, anything goes. Drugs, other stuff that I'm not going to talk about here, but the idea is what? Until you recognize Al-Wahid Al-Ahad and you turn to him, that void is not going to be filled. He has to be, he is the one that can fill the void. And so turning to him becomes very important, and it leads to part three, or the third thing here, which says what, Sheikh?
Not attaching oneself to the temporary.
So when the heart is attached to the temporary, eventually you're going to be let down. But when your heart is attached to Al-Wahid Al-Ahad, you're not going to be let down. Because he is the one without partner. He is unique. He is eternal, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, knowing that reminds us that this life is about one thing. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Ahad. Al-Wahid. So, you know, that concept of one is deep. It's much deeper than I have the ability to articulate. I probably need to write it out and, you know, really give it some thought and discuss it. But I think that you can internalize this, even if we can't actually talk about it. Just knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, that he becomes your one focus. And when that happens with Allah, it changes your life. It changes your life because you don't have to worry about arbab mutafarriquna. You gods. And don't think that a god is something that necessarily has a physical structure. Whatever your heart attaches to and whatever you love intensely, what do you get up for? Do you get up for Fajr or do you get up to go to work? Really? Perhaps, I mean, and for a lot of people, their wealth has become their god. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ta'isa abdu dinar, Ta'isa abdu dirham. And may he perish, he's wretched, the one who worships the dinar and the dirham, the one who worships dollars and cents. And Al-Hasan, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, Likulli ummatin sanamun ya'buduna. Every ummah has an idol that it worships. وَصَنَمُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ الْمَالِ. And the idol of this ummah is wealth. Talking about the ummah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the reality is that if you are not focused on the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he is not your focus, if he doesn't become to you al-wahid, and you don't recognize his perfect qualities, because once you recognize that he is Al-Ahad, then he will become for you Al-Wahid, and he will become that object. Then the reality is the heart is going to be attached to something else. It's going to be attached to praise of the people. It's going to be attached to status. It's going to be attached to wealth. It's going to be attached to something. You know, and a person is going to live for that. Or even partially live for that. And all of that is lost that you can't get back. You know, those hours and days that you spend trying to impress this person to do something. At the expense of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's Allah musta'an. It's a great loss. Naam, Sheikh.
Subtleties,
Sheikh.
Al-Qur'an. Al-Qahhar.
Yeah. Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. Tayyip, what does Al-Wahid mean? Huh? The one. Tayyip. Al-Qahhar. We translate it as what? The compeller. Unrivaled compeller. Tayyip. You know what we're going to do? Since we only have 5 minutes until the Adhan Iqama, I had a different activity. But this is what you're going to do now. You're going to take the next minute and a half and you're going to work with your partner and tell me, why do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined between Al-Wahid and Al-Qahhar 6 times in the Quran? That he is one and he is the compeller. You got it? You know what the question is? Khalil, repeat the question. Yes. Why did Allah combine between Al-Wahid and Al-Qahhar 6 times in the Quran? All right. You have a minute and a half. Yes.
You mean compeller meaning to force one to do something?
A Qahhar, yes, is one who compels one to do something. Nobody can resist. you know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do something, there's no resistance.
No choice.
Right. There's no choice in that matter. Allah azza wa jal will force. And that is necessary for any malik. Right? If you think, what names did we take last week? Al-Malik. Any king, if a king doesn't have the ability to make you do something, then everybody's just going to be like, when the king says, because how does the king rule again? King rules through command. No, a king doesn't necessarily, anyway, the king rules through command. But if people don't feel like they have to, you know what they're going to do? Nah, I'm not doing that. So anyway, so Allah is Al-Qahhar, and that's a great attribute, by the way. It's a beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we'll talk about later on, bi-idhnillah. But here, the issue is, what do you think is one of the reasons or hikmah behind combining? You only have a minute and a half. Yalla, get started. Bismillah. Let's go. Thirty-five seconds remain. Y'all got it?
We think, huh?
Five, four, three, two, one. Okay, time is up. Let's hear it. Bismillah. Who's going to be the first one to volunteer? Who's your partner?
Brother Collins is here.
Okay, Mumtaz. Go ahead. He told you to go, and you're younger than him. You have to listen.
After discussion.
Okay.
Has to be from one source.
Okay, the one who compels has to be from one source, okay?
From Allah Ta'ala.
Okay.
So, when they believe that, you know, if not this, then this could have happened, or this could have happened. So, let me pray for some other reason or some other being. Not Allah Ta'ala. If you understand that everything comes from Allah Ta'ala, then you know you're praying for the one. That's the one.
Okay. That's... You're on to something. Yeah.
It's a command that he's the one.
It is a command that he's the one?
Yes.
What do you mean? You're saying he compels
us
to know that he's the one?
Yes.
Okay.
He's the only one who's compelling is legitimate.
He's the only one who's compelling is legitimate. No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. You may compel someone to do something, and you're right, and they need to follow you. Yes.
He's the only one that deserves to be worshipped because he provides without any intercession, anyone else providing for you. So he deserves your worship and him alone.
But where does compel come into that?
He would be well. You have
people worship other than him, Father.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the many different gods.
Okay.
In the different ayat. And also the word Ahab, the name Ahab is countering what's motivating somebody to worship them.
what would be motivating them to worship other than Allah? So how does Qahar? I'll tell you what I think very quickly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Oops, sorry. And that is that al-qahar, yani to compel, usually from a dunya perspective, requires, especially when we're talking about on a wide spectrum, and we're talking about kings, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also al-malik, right? I was trying to give y'all that hint in the beginning, right? The king usually compels by himself, or he needs an army. So is he alone, or he has like a whole massive, you know, system behind him to compel? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying he is the compeller, even though he is al-wahid. That he doesn't need armies and all of these things. He is alone, and even on top of him being al-wahid, he's still al-qahar. He still is the compeller. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We're going to stop there. As you can see, we were ready to do what today? If somebody says samad, we're going to have a problem. Huh? A samad. Right. So, inshallah, we'll start with a samad bi-idhnillahi ta'ala next week. But we'll also wrap up al-ahad, al-wahid and al-ahad, because there is a connection between al-wahid, al-ahad, and the samad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك